This is an encore edition of the Hour of Intercession.
Anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Exodus, to begin with Exodus chapter 1, starting at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwife said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Verses 15 through 22. Exodus chapter 1, then looking briefly in the New Testament, the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you've answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Again, verses 25 to 37, Luke chapter 10. Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for being El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Thank you for being Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Thank you, Lord, for being compassion incarnate. Father, you are the God of all compassion, and you make us brand new, and then you fill us with your same spirit of compassion. Lord, teach us and empower us to live a lifestyle of love, a lifestyle of mercy, a lifestyle of compassion that flows through our words, our actions, our attitude, all that we are and all that we do, and help us to live in such a way that your Holy Spirit is always screaming and shouting your love to the world all around us. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us once again at this time.
Father, we come to you today, and we thank you for your precious Son, Jesus, who died a terrible death on the cross for us, Father. We don't want to ever get over that. We want to be distracted by that wonderful thought as we move throughout the day. God, we pray for our listening family, those who know you as know Jesus as their Savior. Father, we pray that they would live for Him more and more day by day. And those who don't, Father, we pray that even today that You would stir their hearts, that You would draw them to Yourself, that You'd send someone their way to tell them about Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We are blessed and very honored to have as our guest today, Amy Ford. She's the president of the ministry Embrace Grace. Amy, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on today.
An honor to have you on, and in a special way, I'm particularly honored. As I've come to learn more about the ministry of Embrace Grace, I've come to see more and more it's such a relevant and critically important ministry, because it's a ministry that, amongst other things, helps the church to love women who find themselves pregnant at a difficult time. So would you take time now to further introduce yourself and then tell our listeners about the mission and ministry of Embrace Grace?
Yeah, well, I'm Amy Ford. I'm president of Embrace Grace, and this Embrace Grace inspires and equips the church to love on single and pregnant young women and their families. And this topic is super close to my heart because it's tied to my own story. I had my own unplanned pregnancy when I was 19, even though I grew up in church and had a Christian godly family. I really didn't have a personal relationship with the Lord. And I found myself with an unplanned pregnancy, and I was so scared. I was scared to tell my parents. You know, the enemy lies to you in that situation, and you think of the worst case scenarios that can possibly happen. We thought we would be homeless, that our dreams were over for our lives. And because of that fear makes us do crazy things. And we had, even though we knew abortion was wrong, we had scheduled an appointment, paid for the appointment, and I went in to have the abortion. And while I was there, before the procedure, I ended up hyperventilating and passing out in the abortion room. And when I came to, the nurses were fanning me, trying to give me a drink of water, and they said, "You're just too emotionally distraught to make this decision today. You can come back another day, but today you're not getting an abortion." And I went back out in the waiting room, and I told the father of the baby was out there waiting for me that, you know, we're still pregnant. And in that moment, we just decided, okay, like, let's figure this out. And if we're going to be homeless, you know, all of those terrible things we kept thinking was going to happen, we would try to figure out a way to work through that. And we told our parents it wasn't as bad as we thought it would be. They were definitely disappointed in the timing, but they were supportive. And me and the father of the baby, we had been together all through high school. We knew one day we wanted to get married. And so we decided, let's go ahead and let's get married. And when I was 16 weeks pregnant, we got married. We tried to we asked the man that had led my husband to the Lord years before. He was a pastor. We asked him if he would marry us. And he said, "No, I'm sorry, because you've sinned. I can't bless this marriage." And we were just like, oh my goodness, like, we are such horrible people. We can't even get married, you know, right in the eyes of the Father. And we had this beautiful, amazing wedding, but it definitely felt like a scarlet letter on our wedding day, a lot of shame that we were carrying. And then after that, we tried to go back to church, but it's like the elephant in the room, and people don't know whether to say congratulations or I'm sorry. And so they just don't say anything, and you feel alone in a crowd of people. And so we kind of just stopped going, and we went kind of through a lonely season through that. But one thing that's really cool is that pastor that wouldn't marry us, 2 years later, he randomly called my husband out of the blue, and he asked for forgiveness. He said that he felt like it was his worst mistake in pastoring history that he had ever made, and will my husband please forgive him? And my husband loves this pastor so, so much. And he was like, yes, of course, I forgive you. And it's such a beautiful just healing that happened in their hearts. And we had a son, and he's just so amazing. He actually now is 22, and he just graduated from Oral Roberts University, majoring in theology. He's getting his master's now, and he's married. He just got married last summer, and we're just so proud of him, and we just can't imagine, you know, our life without him. And one more part of the story is that when he was 16, That pastor that wouldn't marry us, he asked me to come speak at his church. And they live about 4 hours away from us now. And so he was very open with his congregation before I had gotten in town about what he had done years before. He said that he had a religious spirit, a Pharisee heart. And this is what I did, but then this is what Embrace Grace, you know, the ministry that's kind of bloomed from it. And so I came and I spoke and I talked a lot about pro-love and life and just all of the amazing God stories. And at the end, he asked me to come back on the platform, and he asked my son, again, who is 16 years old, to come on the platform. And he said, Amy, years ago I asked your husband for forgiveness, but I never really asked you. Will you forgive me for what I did years ago? And we were like, I said, of course, I forgave you a long time ago. You know, it's been 16 years and I forgave you a long time ago. Well, then he looked at my son, 16, in front of the whole church. And he said, Jess, will you forgive me for planting seeds of rejection in your heart before you were ever even born? And while you were in your mother's womb, I rejected you. Will you forgive me? And my son, in front of the whole church, says, I forgive you. And it was such a powerful moment. You could feel church wounds being lifted in that room. And going through all of this, it's really just helped us realize even further the power that the church has. Mm-hmm. If going back, knowing I grew up in church, everything would have looked a lot different if, when I found out I was pregnant, my first thought could have been, oh my goodness, I'm so scared. I don't know what to do. Why don't I go to the church and ask for prayer and for guidance and to help me in this situation? But unfortunately, it was the last thing that ever crossed my mind. And so with Embrace Grace, we want the church to be one of the first places a girl runs to instead of the last because of shame and guilt. And so we have created support groups in churches all over the nation. We provide the churches all the curriculum and the tools to be able to welcome these moms in and help them get back on their feet, practically, spiritually, and emotionally. And we point them back to Jesus. We can't fix all their problems, but we can point them to the one that does, and we can help them with their healing and empower her to be brave in her life decisions. And so we have over 700 support groups in 47 states and 10 countries within churches that do Embrace Grace groups.
Okay. Well, Amy, I want to ask if you'll, we're coming up on a break in just a few moments, so we're going to do this on the other side, but I'm going to ask if you'll pray for listeners that they would have ears to hear and hearts to really perceive the powerful and the very important ministry that Embrace Grace really is. And, you know, the example you shared of the pastor was really a powerful example. And at the same time, he represents both. Just the fact that you have many shepherds who love the Lord, but sometimes they do make mistakes, and sometimes they do make missteps that can be hurtful to others in the church. And so it's helpful for us to understand we all need each other's prayers, and we all need to love the Lord and love one another the way God calls us to. So that's so important. And again, that was a powerful, powerful example that you shared with that pastor. So again, we'll pick up on the other side of the break, but if you would pray for our listeners to receive what the Lord wants them to receive on the broadcast today. Our phone guest today is Amy Ford. She's the president of Embrace Grace. We'll be right back.
Have you ever cried?
We are blessed and very honored to have as our guest today, Amy Ford. She's the president of the ministry Embrace Grace. Amy, if listeners want to learn more about the ministry of Embrace Grace or would like to get in touch with you, how could they do that?
Oh, they can go to embracegrace.com and all the information about Embrace Grace and starting a group and what that looks like at their church is right there on our website.
Okay. And we're going to talk more about why it's so important for churches to grasp the very important work that the Ministry of Grace does further. But before we move forward, if you would, as I mentioned, pray for listeners to have ears to hear, for the church, to pastors, and every listener to have ears to hear what the Lord wants to share with them, that they would grasp what God's calling them to do to help with this important part of the work of the kingdom of God.
Yes, thank you so much. God, I just pray right now for every listener, whether they're a pastor, a ministry leader, God, or just everyone that has a burden for just life, God. We just pray that you inspire them to stir their hearts to just to join in the movement, to be the hands and feet of you, God, that for every pastor to have a church that has open hearts, hands, and doors for all of these women to feel welcome to, and that we don't just turn away and look at this as a political issue. God, this is a heart issue, and we want to be your hands and feet, and we want to represent you, God. So we just pray for every listener to find a place, God, that there's some way you put specific talents and gifts inside every single listener, and that we just pray that you show them how they can get involved, God, and what they can use that you've given them to be able to help a woman be brave and choose life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. A scripture that comes to mind, Amy, is Micah chapter 6, verse 8, that tells us these words, "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" And, you know, Amy, as you shared your own powerful testimony, something that comes to my mind is that somewhere somebody was praying for you and your husband that day, whether you knew them or not. And that's, I believe, probably why you changed your mind. And I want to just say to every single listener, it's so important that every believer grasp that all of us are called to be prayer warriors, every single one of us, because as we pray, prayer, amongst other things, allows the Spirit of God and the angels of God to go forward to carry out God's work in the world. And, you know, much spiritual warfare is going on at every pregnancy clinic and at every abortion clinic as well. It's important to understand that. And who wins, whether it's the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness, in every single instance or in overall, it's directly connected to God's people praying. So, Father, thank you again for the opportunity you give us through our prayer lives to change all sorts of things every day. Anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer and help us to recognize that our prayers make a big difference every day. Help us to never think that they don't, and help every single listener to be stirred to become a much more vibrant and spirit-filled prayer warrior that's putting our prayer, the weapon of prayer, to work faithfully every day. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Amy, if you would I want to ask if you'll further elaborate on, just further explain the specifics of the mission of Embrace Grace and why a ministry like Embrace Grace is so important in our culture and our world today.
Well, with both women and men that are experiencing or impacted by an unexpected pregnancy, it's just really important that they know that the church and people are a safe place, that God's people are a safe place to go to for help. And I know for a lot of us, pro-life, the issue of life is very important. And maybe, you know, you checked your box of voting a certain way, you know, for life, but it really is going to take so much more than just a vote, that we want to make abortion unthinkable above all else, because if there are so many resources, so many people, God's people that want to help and be the hands and feet, why would they feel like they even need to have an abortion when they have so much help and hope? But a lot of these girls don't even know that there's so much help and hope. Mm-hmm. And sometimes with pastors, you know, I hear one of two things. Sometimes it's like, well, you know, is this rewarding sin? Is this condoning bad behavior? Because a part of Embrace Grace is they get a big baby shower that is just over the top beautiful. And it always reminds me of the prodigal son story. And when you think about how, you know, the son had wasted all of his money and was ended up eating the leftovers of the pigs. And he said, you know, if I go back home, maybe I could have the leftovers of my dad's servants. Maybe that's a little bit better than the leftovers of the pigs. And what I love about the story is the part where it says, and while he was a long way off, the father ran to him. And he had his servants put a robe on his back and a ring on his finger. And he said, son, I'm so glad you're home. You were lost and now you're found. And, you know, a lot of these moms, they are a long way off, but they've turned. They're coming to an Embrace Grace group at their church. They've turned towards their Heavenly Father. And we get to be a part with the baby shower throwing them, you know, a beautiful prodigal party. Is really, we have some even salvations that happen either at the actual event itself, or just I know one specific girl that night, the night of her baby shower, she laid in bed and prayed and surrendered her life to Jesus because she was so overwhelmed by God's people that bought stuff in her favorite color for her baby. And that really thought of her, that love is what drew her to God. You know, the scripture says it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we can be like the other brother, you know, and it's like, well, that's not fair. You know, how are you going to, you know, give her gifts after what she's done. But we're just supposed to be a part. You know, the father said, son, you have everything that you need in me. So come and let's celebrate that your brother was lost and now he's found. Mm-hmm. And so we have to look at it as about grace and about kindness and mercy, because that's what draws people to the love and to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I hear pastors say, well, you know what? We don't really have pregnant people in our church. Well, yeah, you do. You've got pregnant people in your church. Or say your church maybe is like an older demographic and it's small and you just know there really isn't pregnant people in your church. Well, go look at this as outreach. Just like if you were going to go feed the poor or, you know, serve in your community, this is a way that you can have an outreach for life in your community. Know where your local pregnancy centers are in your community that actively boots on the ground. As one of my favorite pastors, Tony Evans, says, that the pregnancy centers are the first response team and the church is the hospital. Go network with your pregnancy centers and say, if you have women that come through here with an unexpected pregnancy, please tell them that our doors and hearts are open to them. And Embrace Grace group is a great bridge to get them in the door. You know, it's one thing to just invite them to come to church. They're going to be super nervous. They're going to think their strings attached. I hear this all the time. But when they know there's a specific group just for them, that's for women with unexpected pregnancies, it kind of breaks down the walls of like, oh, like if they have a group for me, then this must be a safe place. And maybe not all the way. We still, with Embrace Grace, that our first class, we're very strategic in all of the leaders share their stories. We don't really ask anything of them because they already have walls up. Sometimes they only come because they're going to get a baby shower. They need the stuff, and so they're just bracing themselves. So they'll say things like, I thought you were going to tell me what a screw-up I am, and I thought you were going to tell me, you know, that I've messed up my life. And I hate that That's how a lot of people look at what church is. They think it's about behavior modification when really it should be about a heart transformation. And so when the leaders share their stories, they're like, the walls start coming down because they're like, okay, that's her story. That's way worse than my story. And if God did that for her, then maybe God will do that for me too. And they start opening up and talking about, you know, and it's not even just the issue of the pregnancy, you know, that's not necessarily the issue. The issue, there's a heart issue. And a lot of times they've been through trauma. They've gone through a lot of things. So we want to get to the root and help them with their healing and go through freedom ministry through an Embrace Grace group so that we can stop generational patterns and change the legacy of for their family and their children and get them pointed back to Jesus. So it's just amazing. The stories that come out of it are just so awesome. And I remember one time we had one girl that she came every single week. She was Wiccan and she believed in witchcraft. And she called me before the group even started and said, hey, my friend told me about this, but I believe in witchcraft. Is it going to be an issue that I come to your group? And I said, no, you know, just come. We want you to come here and you're welcome in this church. And so she came and she never missed one class and she didn't have a car. So I'd pick her up every single week. And I just felt in my heart there was going to be a salvation experience. I knew she was going to, and I remember one day when I was driving her, she said, I like the way it makes me feel when I come to this church. And I just always held on to that. I was like, God, I know that you're talking to her, you're speaking to her, like soften her heart towards you. And so she does the whole semester, the baby shower, the Princess Day, which is something beautiful at the end of the semester that's all about their identity and their value and their worth. And they did the whole thing, and she never surrendered her life to Jesus. And I remember I was so upset. I never told her, but between me and God, I was like, God, you know, she did the whole thing. What went wrong? Where did we mess up? And I heard him speak to me, and he said, Amy, you were planting seeds. And do you think a girl that was Wiccan would have ever stepped foot in your church if you hadn't created a safe place for her to be there? And so let me just keep, you know, sending people to water those seeds. So I kind of lost track with her for a while because her phone number changed. And a year later, she got a hold of me and she was freaking out because she said, I feel like maybe God has been trying to talk to me lately. And it was the restaurant of a gas station, like a gas station restaurant. She was a manager of a gas station / restaurant. And so she said, I would go to work and I would just think, God, you know, I would think something and then something would happen. And then I was like, God, are you trying to talk to me? I don't know. And one day before work, she said, God, if you are trying to tell me something, if you're trying to tell me that you're real, like, I need you to do something bigger. Like, I don't want to think that you're real. I just want to know that you're real. And so just do something more. And so she goes into work. And as she's working the counter, a few hours later, a guy comes in. And I remember she said that he seemed super nervous. And he just randomly said, hey, I just wanted to tell you that I felt like the Lord wanted me to come to you to say that he loves you and he sees you and that all he wants is your heart. It was just a stranger that just walked up to her to say that. And she was like, what? And so she went straight home and she got her Embrace Grace curriculum, her book from the year before, and she pulled out that salvation prayer and she surrendered her life to Jesus. Remember, she said that she did it in the bathroom. She put the tiara in her head and she looked in the mirror because she said, I wanted it to be a moment that I never forgot, that this is the moment where I surrendered my life to Jesus. Hmm. And what gets me, and she, you know, I was the first person she called, like super excited. And what gets me and what God reminded me about is she liked the way it made her feel when she came to church. That was what did it. Mm-hmm. And then also what strikes me is the guy that walked up to the counter, she had said he seemed really nervous. I'm sure he walked away and was like, God, why do you make me do these things? You know, I'm such a dork and I was nervous and, you know, whatever. But he had no idea that she went straight home and surrendered her life to Jesus. I mean, that is amazing. I can just imagine someday in heaven when, you know, Jesus is like, hey, remember that time I told you to go talk to that girl at the restaurant, you know, well, here she is and here are her kids and her grandkids and her great-grandkids because of all of God's people allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and speak and love and move and watching what God will do when we're all obedient to that prompting. And so sometimes we see immediate transformation, sometimes it's planting seeds, but it's just so awesome to see what God does in these women.
And you know, Amy, again, that too is such a powerful story. And I think of this, that, you know, the young lady said to you, she likes the way it makes her feel when she was around you. And of course, that's That's a wonderful picture of what the Holy Spirit does. He is the comforter. He comforts us in a way that nobody or nothing else can, and that's a wonderful picture of who he is and what he does. Would you pray for listeners to grasp that we're called to listen and obey the Holy Spirit? Would you pray for that?
Yes, God, we just thank you that the church isn't a building, God. The church is us. And so we just ask you to use us, that we have open hearts to look and really see the person in front of us, that to know that the most important person in the room is the person we're talking to in that moment, God, whether they're checking us out at the grocery store or wherever that might be, God, that we don't look at them as a transaction, but we look at them as you, as someone that you love and adore so much, God. So we just ask for you to, the Holy Spirit to move in us and to show us when to speak, when to hug, when to acknowledge, when to look people in the eye and know that, and help them know how loved they are, God. Then we thank you that we are your hands and feet, God. And so we just pray that each of us listen to your voice even more as we go about our day, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Our phone guest, Amy Ford, the president of Embrace Grace. We'll be right back. C.C. Winans, Holy Spirit, come fill this place. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Amy Ford. She's the president of Embrace Grace Incorporated. Amy, would you share with our listeners one more time, if they want to get in touch with Embrace Grace or learn more about the work and mission, how can they do that?
You can go to embracegrace.com with all of the information about Embrace Grace. Also, you can go to helperbebrave.com, which has information about my new book, Helper Be Brave. But also, if you're just like, you know what, I want to get involved in the movement, but I don't really know how, helperbebrave.com has great ways, because there's a quiz you can take on there, and it kind of asks a little bit about yourself, what you're passionate about, where your strengths and talents are, and based on the results that get emailed to you, you'll have specific ideas that you might love on how you can get involved in the movement. So check that out too, helperbebrave.com.
Okay then, and let's talk a little bit about your book. The title of the book is Helper Be Brave. Why that title?
Well, when you look at all of the reasons why, you know, based on the Guttmacher Institute and some other areas, so the reasons why women have abortion, if you look at each of those, fear is the root. It could be scared of being alone, worried about your finances, your school, your education, interrupting your education. If you look at, or maybe baby dad being upset, each one of those, it fears the root of them all. And so, and when you're in that crisis, panic moment, that temporary crisis, you know, it's easy to make a decision that is based on the temporary crisis. So we want to help her be brave and see the bigger picture of what's going on and really look at, like, what is the reason why she feels like maybe she would want to have an abortion, and how can we help in that way? How can we help her see the bigger picture and help, whether it's spiritually, practically, or emotionally, or all of them, to be brave and choose life? And so my new book, Help Her Be Brave, Discover Your Place in the Pro-Life Movement, has over 300 ideas of how you can get involved in the movement, and kind of even gives you a bigger picture of the movement in itself. You know, I grew up in church my entire life, and I never knew there was a pro-life movement. You know, when I thought about if someone said, I work in the pro-life movement, I would have assumed that meant picketing outside an abortion clinic. That's because that's the only thing maybe I've seen on media or news shows or, you know, things like that. But I remember the first time with my first book came out, A Bump in Life, I was asked to speak at this pro-life conference, never heard of this organization. But I spoke, and when I got there, I was blown away. They had hundreds of vendors in this conference arena. And when I say vendors, the vendors were actually pro-life organizations, national pro-life organizations that were boots on the ground, really making a difference in helping women and men. And I was like, how have I gone to church my entire life and had no idea that there's this big group of people that are really making a difference, that want to empower a woman to be brave? And so if I'm that way, then I'm sure there's a lot of other people that feel the same way. Like, I had no idea. If I would have, you know, when I meet someone that has an unexpected pregnancy, it's nice to know, well, I know that there's a maternity home over here in my community, and there's a pregnancy center, and there's a food bank, or whatever that might look like. Each situation is super unique, and that's why we need the Holy Spirit to help us with each one. But it's good to know the practical resources that are in your community or these national organizations that will help in these situations. And so I feel passionate about how pastors should be talking about this issue more. You don't have to do a whole sermon on why abortion is wrong. You know, just talk about the help and the hope that you've got. And even with abortion healing, I think it's important for all churches to have abortion healing support groups. 1 in 4 have experienced an abortion, and the abortion rate is exactly the same inside the church as it is outside. And so that means these women and men are sitting in our pews and they're hurting, and they don't really feel like there's someone that they can talk to. And so we can help them get the healing through your church, because there's great curriculum and tools that are out there for them as well. And then on-ramp them into the pro-life movement, because they can be the person that they wish they had years ago when they made their abortion decision. They can be that. And I just want to say too, and maybe just pray for anyone that's maybe listening right now, and maybe you're compelled to action, but maybe I've heard this so many times. Maybe you're like, well, you know, I feel like because I had an abortion, then that maybe disqualifies me from serving in the pro-life movement. Maybe that feels hypocritical to tell someone else that they should choose life when I didn't choose life, but yet I regret my decision. And I'd love to, Pastor, I would love to just stop and pray really quick for them. Okay. God, I just pray right now for anyone that's listening, men or women, that have been impacted by an abortion. God, I just thank you that Revelation 12:11 says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And that we just pray for boldness and courage in sharing their story. It could be just a one person. It might be their spouse, or maybe their child, or maybe a close friend, God. That is how we heal, is what we bring into the light is what God heals, and what we keep in darkness is what Satan will torment with us with. So I just pray for courage in sharing their story, God, and then even more courage in getting a healing and whatever that might look like, and then more courage in being the person they wish they had, God, that you do not disqualify us. You qualify us, God. And so we thank you for all of these men and women that have been impacted, that they want to step out and be the change that they want to see in the world, God. And we thank you so much for that in Jesus' name. And so, but I know that we need that too. So the whole pro-life movement as a whole, like we as churches, say abortion became illegal today, you know, it just all of a sudden became illegal. Are we ready? Are we ready to help these women practically, spiritually, and emotionally? If they're coming to your doorstep and say, I am pregnant and I need help, we have to be ready. And I know just recently a new mom that just went through Embrace Grace was telling me that when she found out she was pregnant, it was a Friday night, and she called three churches, left three voicemails saying, I'm scared. She was crying in the voicemail and saying, I don't know what to do. And she only got one return call back. So we have to be ready as a church to be able to help and not be overwhelmed by, oh, she probably needs financial help or she probably needs this and that. There are so many resources out there. Just take the call and pray through how you can help the situation, because God will bring you the resources. And everywhere we go, it's our mission field, you know, that the world is our mission field. And I meet so many people that are pregnant. I don't know if God's given me just a special radar for it, but I meet so many. I remember one time I was at Sonic, and I don't know if anyone's been to Sonic or if that's in y'all's area, but at Sonic you can, you know, it's a car hop type restaurant, and you can swipe your card to pay, but there's not a tip line. And I know we've had Embrace Grace girls work at Sonic, and they're like, people don't tip, and I think you're supposed to tip there. So I hardly ever go because I don't really have cash. If you want to tip, you're going to have cash. Mm-hmm. But one day I took all my kids, and I thought I had cash, and I placed the order and realized I had no cash. And so I paid for it with my card, but when this young girl comes out and I said, I'm so sorry, I thought I had cash, but I don't have any cash for a tip, but I will go to the bank, the ATM machine, and I'll come back and I'll bring you some. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you don't have to do that, but if you want to, you can. And I was like, yes, I will. And so I went down the street and I came back, and when I asked her, I said, hey, what's your name? And she said, my name's Zoe. And I said, oh my goodness, I love that name. Did you know that your name means life? But not like just a heavenly realm, or not like a survival type of life. It's like the heavenly realm of life. Like the way it translates is a beautiful. It's the John 10:10, the John 3:16, like this amazing life that God has for you. And I said, when I was pregnant with my fourth, and he's about 1.5 now, before I knew he was a boy, the girl name I had chose was Zoe. I just love that name. Did you know that about your name? And she's like, no, I didn't know that. So you have a baby. And I was like, well, you know, he's about 18 months or so. He's kind of a bigger baby. And she said, well, I just found out I'm pregnant. Me and my boyfriend are really nervous. Do you have any advice for us? I'm not really sure what to do. I was like, God, you are amazing for setting this up. And so I got to get her connected to a local pregnancy center. She went through Embrace Grace. She ended up having a boy, and so I was at her birth. I was at her wedding. I get to do life with this girl named Zoe that is such a blessing to our family. Her husband even worked for my husband for a while doing insurance. Like, it's just awesome, and she got all my little boys hand-me-downs. And I get to do life with this girl named Zoe, and it would have been so easy for me to just look at her as a transaction and just like, you know, here's paying for my meal, you know, or slushies, whatever we were getting that day. And, but like looking at her as a real person, and God was doing the ultimate setup. And I love to see the impact that that had. And she's amazing.
Oh, you know, Amy, our time is just about gone. And, it looks like we just barely got started here. I'm going to ask before our time runs out, would you pray specifically for our ministry in that, like, along with the being hosting the Hour of Intercession, I also pastor, and we're in the process of raising monies to purchase a mobile pregnancy unit we'll serve in the Mississippi Delta. Would you pray specifically for this work in ministry, please?
Mm-hmm. God, we just thank you for the genius idea of mobile units, God. These are mobile pregnancy centers on wheels, God. And we love it because we're going to the people. We're taking the church outside the walls and finding these women. So, God, we just pray right now for all of the funds to be raised. I know that there's someone, I feel in my heart, there's someone that's listening right now that could probably pay for the entire rest of this mobile unit, God, of what they need to be able to have this help on wheels, God. And so we just pray for stir to action, God, that whether it's $5 or whether it's $5,000 or $50,000 or however much you're leading people to give to, God, there's not a better thing to give towards but to help save lives, God. This ultimately will save lives. And so we just thank you for that you put this dream into Pastor's heart, God, and we know that you will complete all of this, and that we just pray for the funds to be raised soon, God. And we just thank you for all of the lives that will be saved and the women that will be empowered through this amazing tool of sharing the gospel and for helping women be able to see the vision, the visual of their baby in their womb, God, and hear the heartbeat of their baby. And we just thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Amy. In these last moments, if there's someone listening today who's never made that all-important step of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a great day to get saved. If you're that person, would you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world, you lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent of all the wrong I've done. Forgive me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And I now declare I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer, please email us, jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We definitely would like to be in touch with you and share with you some materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong. You walk with the Lord. Amy, again, thank you so much for coming. Share with our listeners one more time. If they want to get in touch with Embrace Grace or learn more about you, how can they do that?
Just go to embracegrace.com to learn about Embrace Grace, the ministry, and then also helperbebrave.com to find out more ways you can get involved in the movement.
All right. Thanks so much, Amy. You painted a beautiful picture of the great work and ministry of Embrace Grace. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
And thank you for being a part of our listening family. Hope that you will get in touch with Embrace Grace. Pray much for Amy and this ministry, and hope that you'll get in touch and be a prayer warrior for them, as well as pray about supporting them financially and possibly starting an Embrace Grace in your community as well. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.